Please continue standing for our scripture this morning, coming from the book of Acts, chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. Now the apostles and believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. And as I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. And I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time, the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' And this happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were, and the Spirit told me to go with them and to not make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Then, if God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
James Moore, in his book, God Was Here and I Was Out to Lunch, had a story at the end of one of his chapters that he claimed was true, but it was a story that I thought made the very point that I want to make from our text today. He said there was a young girl that in the community on a very snowy, wintry day had wandered away, and her parents panicked, and the whole community came together and immediately went out in this treacherous weather to try to find her, and they could not. And then somebody had the idea that if the whole community would take hands and sweep through the woods together, that they might have, you know, a better chance to find this little girl. And so they did, and about 15 minutes later, they did indeed find her, but it was too late. The cold was too bitter, and it caught up with her before they caught up with her. And as they were reflecting on this, one person kind of summed it up when they said, "Oh, if we had only joined hands together earlier. Oh, if we had only joined hands together earlier." You know, I think that that is one of the greatest lessons that we are called to learn in life. We have many, many lessons, and this is a time of year where we think about that. I have been to kindergarten graduations. I've been to a lot of dance recitals. And yesterday we had one that went about 9 hours. My granddaughter was in it. And because this is a time where people are putting together and showing what it is that they have learned during this school year or during this sports year or during this dance year. And we're always learning. In fact, I've heard some people say that Christians are always learning. You know, once we're baptized, once we start this life, and John Wesley would agree with this with sanctifying grace, is that we're learning one lesson after the other, and the hardest lesson that we ever learn might be the one right before we die. And so we have lessons. Some of them are a lot harder than others. And I think that we heard in a text today something that might reveal to us the hardest lesson that we ever learn. And that is a lesson where we apply that basic commandment that every one of us know. We have learned it. It was a lesson that we learned. We can recite it perfectly. But there's a big difference between learning something, being able to recite it, to understand it, and to actually have the wisdom that it brings to your life and the changes that it brings into the life that you live. I love a cartoon strip from Peanuts where Lucy is chasing Charlie Brown, and she says, "Charlie Brown, when I catch up to you, I'm going to knock your block off." And then Charlie Brown turns around and looks at Lucy and says, "Lucy, if we as relatively small children with our relatively small problems can't learn to talk through these things together, how can we expect the nations of the world?" And she, pow, knocks him over. And then the next frame, Lucy says, "I had to hit him quick. He was starting to make sense." And I think sometimes that is where we are. I love the Gentile Pentecost. That's what this story is about. This is the Gentile Pentecost. And in case you don't remember what Gentile means, it just means everybody that is not a Jew. Everybody that is not a Jew in this world is a Gentile. Peter is at this place in Acts. Luke has written about it. I know that you thought this scripture that was read for you was quite a long scripture, and it was quite a long scripture, but I want to tell you, it was just a summation. It started way back in chapter 10. Before you get to chapter 11, you've already heard this story. In fact, it was in more detail than what Peter did in summing it up. Everything that Peter had said here has already been told to us in Acts. Now, William Barclay says that Luke and Acts were both written on papyrus. There was no such thing as paper in those days. Papyrus is a plant that formed a material that you could write on, and usually those materials were wrapped up on a scroll that could be about 35 feet long. And you can imagine what you're doing when you have only 35 feet to tell a story that could involve many, many very important stories. And Luke takes a great deal of time in our work, a couple of chapters, to tell this story over and over and over again, because it's that important a story. Okay, what you have is a guy named Cornelius at Caesarea by the sea. If you've ever been to the Holy Land, you know that this is one of the big places that you travel. It was a place where folks like Pilate, Pontius Pilate, you know, chose to have as his headquarters, or as the capital place. Usually you have about a legion of soldiers, and I imagine Israel had about a legion of soldiers from Rome. That's about 6,000, and within that you have about 10,000 what they call cohorts, more like battalions. And from those you have centuries, 100 soldiers, and you have about 6 centuries within the battalions. And over the centuries you have a centurion who is a soldier that's over basically 100 soldiers. I don't know what to compare it to, Arthur. Maybe a captain, but I think it probably would be closer to a sergeant major. Sergeant major is one non-commissioned officer who really understands the soldiers. I mean, inside and out. And where they are, what they can do, what they need to work on, and how he needs to really direct them to make them the best soldiers that they can be, and also to understand the context in which they will be soldiering. That is, to understand the communities and the people that they will be dealing with. Apparently, Cornelius was great at that. They said he was a God-fearing person. They said that he was a charitable person. And apparently, he was not quite satisfied with the religious background that he had. It wasn't quite delivering. It wasn't quite measuring up. He could. He probably had visited the synagogue. He certainly hadn't become a Jew. He had not become circumcised. And any man before he could be converted and actually be called a Jew would have to be circumcised. And you would have to follow the law, meaning, you know, all of the law. And that's basically where the world was. It certainly was where the Jewish world was. And it seems to be where Peter was, even all of this time after the resurrection and the ascension of Christ. I think that Peter was still there. And what I'm saying is that Peter was Jewish. And what that means is that everything that God did in Jesus Christ, His coming, I mean, there's a sermon in these chapters that I just mentioned for you. The healings that he did, the teachings, and then hanging on that tree, being crucified, and being resurrected from the dead on the third day, and appearing to Jesus' closest followers. Not appearing to everybody, but appearing to the Jews. And appearing to only those Jews who had shared basically the 3 years of Jesus' ministry with him. And then were commissioned by Jesus to go out and to preach and to teach what Jesus had done, and that he would be the one that ultimately would be the judge of the living and the dead. But you see, this was for Jews. So everything that Jesus Christ did, if you go out and proclaim that gospel, guess where you're going? You're going to the Jews. And that's what Peter had been doing. He had been proclaiming Jesus, and he had proclaimed it well to the Jews. But not to the rest of us. And, you know, it just reminds me how close we really came, how close we really came to being just another form of Judaism. We would have been, among many forms of Judaism, the kind of Judaism that believed that God sent his Messiah in Jesus. He wasn't the kind of Messiah that anybody was expecting. And so you have to learn what God was saying by sending Jesus as the Messiah. But the only people that need to concern themselves about this is just the Jews. And if you were a follower of Jesus Christ, you would still be a Jew. That's what they called the Judaizers, those who kept all the law. So if you wanted to be a follower of Jesus, say you were a man, you would be circumcised, and you would keep all the law, and you would be very glad for what God had done through Jesus Christ. Now, you had Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came, and there the Holy Spirit came on Jews from all over the world, but Jews nonetheless. And so this is a very, very important passage in the scheme of the development of God's revelation through Jesus Christ. And Peter is there, and part of the story is that while Cornelius was told by an angel to send people to Joppa, from Caesarea to Joppa, to look for Simon, who also went by the name of Peter, and ask him to come to Caesarea. While that was happening, Peter was in Joppa. If you've ever been to the Holy Land, you know that this is one of the things that you do. You go to Joppa. They have, a nice house there with a flat roof, and you walk out on that roof, and you look out over the Mediterranean Sea. There is a canvas there that you can draw some shade from, even on the roof. And, of course, in Peter's day, there could have been boats out on the sea with a sail. But anyway, what he sees is a sheet, which is the same word for sail, by the way. And that sheet's dropping down out of heaven. You got heaven, which is a big dome, but it still has a northeast, south, and west. And that sheet is being dropped down out of heaven. And out of it, you see almost every animal that is forbidden for consumption in Leviticus 11. I mean, probably some other places, but Leviticus 11 is the one that described all the animals you could eat and the ones that you couldn't. And he sees this sheet full of animals that you can't eat by law. And God says to him, "Peter, rise, kill, eat." And Peter says, "I have not ever, one time in my entire life, eaten anything that is unclean or impure or profane." And God says, "What I have called clean, you are not to call unclean or profane." And he does it another time. Peter says it, and God reminds him, "What I've called clean, you can't call unclean." And that happens three times. And it's right after Peter has this vision that the three men from Caesarea, you know, show up asking Peter to come to Cornelius. And Peter makes the connection that God has revealed to him that no matter what your nationality or race, that there's really no difference now. And so he lets those men cross the threshold into his room, which would never have happened. And Peter said, "You know, I have, by law, always obeyed the law of separating myself from Gentiles." And then when he got to Caesarea, he also crossed that threshold and went into the home of Cornelius, which was a very big barrier breaker. And as a result of that, Cornelius says, "You have a message that I've told will save me and all my household, will give this life that we kind of thought was out there, but we've never really found." And he tells him about Jesus Christ. All of those points that I just made. And then he notices that the Holy Spirit comes on them. First time that the Holy Spirit had come on Gentiles. But what Peter experienced was the same kind of experience that had come on the Jews at Pentecost. He said it's the same kind of thing that we had in our beginning. The Holy Spirit came on them. So who am I to say that God can't do whatever he wants to with his own Holy Spirit, with whomever he wants to? And it is a big, big deal. I don't know where we would be. I doubt that we would even be part of a Jewish sect or a Jewish form of Judaism, Christian Judaism. There's no telling what our religious concepts would be and what we would be living under had not the invitation that came to this world through Jesus Christ been finally extended to everyone. Because from the beginning, God loved everyone. We didn't get it. Peter didn't learn that lesson. Or maybe he mislearned that lesson because that's where all of his racist, bigoted, hatred, non-acceptance, it was just there. I mean, that's the way that it was. Yeah, you love, but you had your parameters for that. And Peter mislearned that lesson that God had always intended. And he had lessons yet to learn. And that's what he was learning. But you know, the thing I love about Peter is that even though he gets it right finally here and understands everyone that God intended us to bring the name of Jesus Christ and the love and the presence of God that comes through that name. There's another little place in the Bible that I love, and I went to it almost immediately when I looked at this. It was in Galatians, the second chapter. And this is Paul telling about his experience, about, you know, his conversion and being in Damascus, and how he had stayed with Ananias and others for quite a while, and then had gone away. And it was like 3 years after all of that that he made his first trip to Jerusalem and met James. And Peter and James. And then Paul goes on to describe, it was about 14 years after that that I went back to Jerusalem. And that's when I was with most of the disciples. And I was telling them the message that I was preaching and teaching to the Gentiles out there. And after they heard it all, they gave me their blessing. They said, this is true. This is right. This is the truth. So you primarily go to the Gentiles, and we will primarily stay with the Jews because that's where our strengths are. Yours are obviously in relating to Gentiles. And that's the way it was. And then once when Paul and Peter were in Antioch together, Peter was living with the non-Jews, the Gentiles, in all the ways that he had lived with Jews in his life, eating with them, associating with them in every way. And then a party came, a circumcision party, that included James, by the way, the brother of Jesus from Jerusalem, and some others. And as soon as they got there, Peter stopped eating with the Gentiles for fear that the circumcision party would be too harsh and critical with him. And he started eating separately and started associating separately with the Jewish party. And Paul said, I confronted him in front of everybody. Now, that's 3 years plus 14 years at least, 14, 17 years at least after this great vision that he had and this experience with Cornelius, that he slipped. And under pressure, built that barrier again between the Jew and the Gentile, between himself and the Gentile. And Paul said, I got right in his face and confronted him about his hypocrisy. And it just means that we're always learning, aren't we? This is what I love about Peter. He reminds me, thank God, that God's never through with me. That I'm still learning, and especially am I learning about how to have relationships that one day in the kingdom of God in its fullness, we're really going to have. But I tell you, if you've got people that you don't want to love, if you've got people you don't want to associate with, if you have people that you want to condemn, if you have people that you want to judge, if you have people that you want to separate yourself from, then the only way that that can happen in the kingdom of God ultimately is for you not to be there. Because if you are there, you are going to love the Gentiles, the Jews, and every other label that is out there. Because that's what labels are. You put them there and you think you know everything that there is to know about that person just by putting that label on them. Without ever asking, does this person cry? Does this mother love her children the way that we do? Does this person have hopes and dreams? No, just lay the label on them. You got them all summed up. And Peter had to learn a hard lesson about that, and so do all Christians. And it may be the hardest lesson that we ever learn, but it is a lesson that we must learn. Now, the good news about that is there's a lot of power to learn that lesson, because we've been loved that way. God actually loved us that way when we didn't deserve it, while we were yet sinners, and He gave us grace, forgiveness, and said, "You can still be my child." But that lays a burden on you to try to be worthy of that. So, welcome to Pentecost, Gentiles. We're included. Thank God we're included. And it means that we also have the gift of inclusion, because that's a gift that can be given to others as well. Oh Lord, we are thankful that You have revealed and that You keep revealing Yourself. You never give up revealing Your will, even when we miss it, even when we get it wrong. But thank You for that part of us that is like Peter, that is still learning and still learning hard lessons. And we pray that You meet us where we are and never give up on us, and continue to help us to learn Your lessons. In Jesus' name, amen.